I am boxed in the everlasting love of Jesus. And so are you. Faith makes all things possible. But you better make sure that it is faith in Jesus Christ. He's our hope. He's our confidence. He's our wisdom. He's our joy. We look at the cross, and as you heard Addison say, we see Jesus, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of our sins. So we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. That's what Paul is saying in his second letter to the church at Corinth, a congregation that he had founded, spent 18 months there. He says, we don't lose heart. Look in the mirror. Your outer nature is wasting away. You are perishable, and so am I. Or we can try to camouflage our aging, our growing old, but reality will stare us in the face, and what we see in the mirror is not just a reflection. What we see is our mortality, our finiteness. We see that we are, in fact, cardboard boxes, containers, that will have no worth or value and no eternity if we are not boxed in, if we are not filled with that priceless treasure. We do not lose heart. But I'll bet you sometimes you've gotten discouraged. I'll bet you sometimes you've been kind of beat up. I bet you that there's been times when you've wanted to throw in the towel, call it quits, and say, enough is enough already. Right? I mean, those days happen. And it's not just a matter of saying, yeah, but I'm going to keep a stiff upper lip. I'm just going to grin and bear it. That's not what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. He says, we do not lose hope. So we do not lose hope. Why? My cousin Tim, some of you have met him. He came here one time for worship, maybe twice, a couple years ago. My cousin Tim is getting married for the third time a week from today. He got married the first time, they had a son. And after a lengthy battle with cancer, his first wife died. And then a couple years later, God restored his joy. And they had a beautiful marriage. And then all of a sudden, this woman who for 30 plus years worked at the Minneapolis Star and Tribune, newspaper in the Twin Cities, did what she'd done for 30 years, walked in the morning across the street to catch the bus, and as she was going across the street, there was a high-speed car that hit her and killed her. My cousin Tim is getting married for the third time a week from today. But he does not lose heart. You know why? Because the box has Jesus in it. He's sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's marked with the cross of Christ forever. So he does not lose heart. Even though his outer nature is wasting away, his inner nature is being renewed every day. He does not lose heart. You know why? Because he believes, he knows, that in the midst of our sharing the suffering of Jesus, we also share the glory of Jesus. If we die with him, we also rise with him. We live with him forever. He believes in the promises of God. He looks not to the things that are seen that are temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. He looks to the things that are eternal. My cousin Tim believes that faith in Jesus makes all things possible. And that in everything, God works for good with those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The closer we get to Jesus, the larger the cross becomes. Someone at the women's Bible study the other day said, a friend of theirs said, oh, I've never heard that before. Really? Never heard that the closer you get to Jesus, the bigger the cross will become? What do we think it means to say that we have this treasure in earthen vessels? To show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. So Paul says, you heard it, we are afflicted in every way. Yeah? You heard that, right? We are afflicted in every way. Satan is going to come at us from all sides. But we are not crushed. Paul is proclaiming his faith. He is, in fact, making reference to Psalm 16 and saying, I can relate to that. We cry out to God. We call out to God in the midst of all the afflictions that are coming our way every day. But we don't lose hope. We don't lose heart. Remember what Paul said to the church at Philippi? It's his epistle of joy. He's under house arrest, and they think they can finally shut him up. The same one who says to the Corinthians, we believed and so we spoke. We believe and so we speak. Paul says, they thought they could put a muzzle on me. They gave me a megaphone. And then Paul will say, you know these words, forgetting what lies behind, right, the daily afflictions, the being beat up all the time, because this target is so big on us and Satan has us in his scope. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That means he's headed toward the cross. Because the cross is God's gift of love for us, wrapped in the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. Let those who are mature, Paul says, let them have the same mind. Let those who are mature have the mind of Jesus, who didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant. Suffering, dying, rising. Some of you have been studying the book of Acts. Chapter 7 is where Stephen, the first martyr of the church, Stephen, who was a deacon, he's just supposed to take care of church administration, for crying out loud. Next thing you know, he and Philip and some of the others have been ordained into word and sacrament ministry. And what happens? He preaches. He believes, and so he speaks. And when the indictment comes, you crucified him. You put him on the cross. You stiff-necked people. That's what Stephen says. Doesn't pull any punches. You stiff-necked people. You're uncircumcised in ears. You're uncircumcised in heart. You crucified him. Well, they began to grind their teeth. You know this story. And they picked up the biggest rocks they could find, and they said, oh, how are we supposed to throw these when we got all these garments? Saul was standing there consenting. He's in charge. Let me hold your robes. You can get a better throw that way. And what does Stephen do? Like all the other martyrs of the early church who were literally set on fire so that they could become luminaries, who were fed to the lions and the wild beasts, what does Stephen do? He keeps his eyes on Jesus. He keeps his eyes on Jesus, the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in a field. He's boxed in the love of God. And so Stephen looks toward the heavens and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And with his dying breath and with the blood that is pouring forth, he says, Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them. Wow. Reminiscent of the same words of Jesus on the cross in Luke's gospel. We are afflicted in every way. Satan is coming at us from all sides. The closer we get to Jesus, the bigger the cross gets. Paul quotes Psalm 16. And we could do the same. We believe, and so we speak. We speak and we tell the good news. Anytime that the good Lord opens the door. My wife said to me today, she said, "Oh my goodness, they just had one of your articles in the paper a month ago. And now you got another one in there. Kicking against the goads. Good luck with that." Right? And some of my friends from the Panera Bible Study men's group, they said, "Thanks, great article." I said, "I'm just doing what I can to lift up the name of Jesus in the Post Bulletin and in the Rochester community. Jesus is Lord, and we are not going to be ashamed of believing in him or speaking his name. Never." So, we do not lose heart. The year was 1957, and there was a center fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies baseball team. His name was Richie Ashburn. He was in the batter's box. The pitch came in, he swung. It was one of those line drive foul balls that clipped a woman named Alice Roth and beamed her badly. They had to pause for a while, and then they brought a stretcher in so that they could take Alice out. And then Richie Ashburn is back in the batter's box. He swings and it's another line drive, foul ball. And I bet you can guess who it hit. Alice, as she's being taken out on a stretcher. Ever had days like that? I mean, Murphy's Law, right? If anything can happen, it will happen, right? That's life, folks. Don't kid yourself, and don't listen to these prosperity gospel preachers that are trying to tell you that the closer you get to Jesus, the more money you're going to have, and the more Rolexes you're going to wear. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus says, "Whoever would follow me had better look good on wood. Take up your cross, deny yourself, follow me. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in the sinful and adulterous generation, of that one will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the kingdom of the Father's glory." So we do not lose heart. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Three ministers were talking about their perspective on effective prayer. The first pastor says, "I find that prayer is most effective when I've got my hands folded and my eyes closed." The second pastor said, "I find that my prayers are most effective when I'm down on my knees, beside my bed, or in front of the altar in church." And the third pastor said, "Well, I find that my prayers are most effective when I'm in church and I'm prostrate right on the floor, my face in the carpet." Right? Just like this. Well, meanwhile, in the adjacent room, listening to these three pastors conversing about effective prayer, there is a telephone repairman. He's fixing a bad line. He comes around and says, "Sorry about eavesdropping in on your conversation, but I'd like to add this. I find that my most effective time of praying was when I was 40 feet up on one of those poles, dangling by my ankles, head down." You know the cross? You know the cross? You can't have Jesus without the cross. The psalm appointed for tonight is Psalm 130. Luther used it, "For out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. The psalmist is praying and bleeding because he's afflicted in every way, but not crushed. So he does not lose heart. He says, if you, O Lord, were to mark iniquities, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, so that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. Full of hope. Because with the Lord, there is steadfast love. You catch that? Damn, you're talking about permanent, eternal, steadfast love. And with him, there is plenteous redemption. So, we do not lose heart. Oh, our outer nature is wasting away, but our inner nature is being renewed. We don't look with our eyes to the things that are seen. We look to the things that are unseen, but revealed in Christ Jesus, the promises of God. And we know, Paul says, that all we got here on earth is a bunch of disposable tents, cardboard boxes. Leave this baby out in the rain for a while and see what you got. We know, Paul says, that in this life, the perishable must put on the imperishable, the mortal must put on immortality, and then, at the last trumpet, then the dead in Christ shall be raised. The victory that overcomes the world, our faith in Jesus Christ. We have a house. That's what Paul says. We have a house, not a tent. The best we can ever do is build a house of cardboard or tents. We may think that they're fancier than that, and we may even put a huge multi-million dollar price tag on them. And God laughs. They're disposable tents. But we have a house in heaven not made with hands. That's eternal. In my Father's house, Jesus said, many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's prepared, I'll come take you so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way. I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life, Jesus says. And no one comes to the Father but by me. So you don't lose heart. You believe, and so you speak. An elderly man came to faith in Jesus when he was old. And he would spend every day going to a mission hospital, and he would read from Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. He would read from the Gospels about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day he went there. And then he was having trouble seeing those words on the page, and so he went to see his eye doctor. And he got some bad news. The eye doctor said, we can't fix this problem. Within a year, two at the most, you're going to lose your sight completely. So this elderly man converted to the faith of Jesus. He stopped going to the hospital, the mission hospital that he'd gone to every day. He stopped going to it. And after about 2 months, a young man ran into this older gentleman and said, we miss you. The patients miss having you come and read the gospel. And so the older gentleman said, well, here's the story. I'm losing my eyesight. So I've been spending every waking moment memorizing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And pretty soon, I'm going to be back in there. So that even if I cannot use my eyes, I can believe, and so I can speak. So, we do not lose heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.